News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 5th of February, Anno Domini 2006, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be bringing you news, views, and stuff you can use. Well, it's Puppy Bowl Sunday.
Yep.
Very exciting.
Kitty, what is it, Kitty Halftime?
I was going to say, it's Kitty Halftime and Puppy Bowl, I think, for people that don't want to watch the Super Bowl.
The Puppy Bowl is on Animal Planet. They have this little stadium they set out. It's really a pen for the dogs. And they put the puppies in them, and they just shoot them playing.
They just let them mess around.
It's so cool.
My dogs love it.
Have you seen it? Yeah.
Well, I've seen the previews for it. It's like, what will they think of next?
It's hysterical. They have what they call the bowl cam. There's... In the end zones, there's water bowls, and there's a camera inside the water bowl. It's hysterical. My daughter cannot wait. Cannot wait. I have.
Don't you have dogs she can look at?
We do. We have dogs we look at, but they're not. They're still puppies in their heads, but they weigh 90 pounds apiece, so they're not really puppies as such anymore. And we have, the two of them are the same. They're part mongrel and part mutt. So she gets to see all the other little cutesy puppies and stuff like that. So she's looking forward to that. I don't know if I'm going to be watching. I'm not a big sports fan, but I don't know if I'll be watching the commercials or the puppies. That's a tough choice. I might have to flip. I've got picture in picture. I might do that.
There you go. Go in between the two.
I have a friend who's
of course, that depends on whether your dogs give you a hard problem. It's like mine. I just wound up turning the second TV on for them.
And they sit there and watch it.
They
don't
were
they?
Sitting there looking at it. It's like, how do I get to these dogs? I want to play with them.
Yeah, exactly. So I have a friend who's who's an avid Steeler fan. She owns every bit of Steeler paraphernalia there is, and she'll be wearing it or holding it or
same
waving
with my,
it all.
My son-in-law
during the game. That's good for them.
I had a friend invite me to an anti-Super Bowl party, and I said, "Yeah, sure, I'll come," but I almost forgot about it because, I didn't really know that this weekend was the Super Bowl.
You didn't know?
And I didn't know who was playing. I'm not into sports at all. So I didn't even know who was playing until, the game's tomorrow? Oh, who's playing?
I think, though, that, I'm in the same boat. I really am. Yeah. I'm not a sports person. And I think that's just like a typical, a lot of people just don't care.
Yeah.
And I'm one
but
of
a lot of
but the people that do care are really
are
fervent
obsessed.
About it.
See, but the other part of my problem is I can either watch the Puppy Bowl or the World Poker Tour Marathon.
Well, here's the deal. One of my coworkers said, I'm only going to watch DVDs. Because I've got to know what the commercials are.
Well, that's it.
You've got those kind of people who only watch because...
Well, they'll be on the internet in a couple hours after the game.
Yeah, well, but now, right. right. Well, the other thing, too, is it's just like, nobody can... I mean, there's just so many people...
Well, but
just,
the real problem is back in the day, when Apple's 1984 ad came out or during the 90s when all the dot-com ads were out...
Oh, the halftime show, too. I'm sorry. After a couple of years ago, you just never know.
Oh, well, they got a five-second delay in case there's any
There's not going to be any sort of malfunctions anymore.
By the time the intern runs over and presses the button, it's going to be on the air. You got to know it. I mean, it's just then there's going to be a
And then somebody's got the live feed off of a satellite, and it'll be on the internet.
It'll be on the internet.
So I didn't mean to... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Who's playing? Paul McCartney? I don't really care if he has a wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Actually,
I'm interested one way or the other. It's not for me.
I'd much prefer Janet Jackson have one than Paul McCartney.
Well, you got to make a choice. If those are your choices, it's not really a coin flip.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, any complaints can go to
Steve, that was Steve, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Ray, everybody.
Soundbites.com.
All right.
.org.
No, com. Well, this way they'll get bounced back at me. Because I do the squirrel mail account.
Right.
And they'll all be bouncing in there, and then I'll just forward them on to him. No
That's
problem.
The way. Forward them right on to him. That's where they belong. All right, listen, we might as well... Oh, before we go anywhere, we should tell you a little bit about what's going on in the news world. We have a Winamp. If you're a user of Winamp, you need to upgrade because there's a flaw a security bug in Winamp, which
the whole program.
Well, yes, but that lets users install, you know, malicious people install spyware on the machine by kind of tunneling it through an MVP. So, if you're using Winamp, Nullsoft suggests you recommends. Probably would like to demand that you upgrade to version 5.13. 5.13 is the version you should be running if you're running Winamp, so go for it. Grab it and go for it. Of course, it doesn't matter what version you're running if you're downloading and playing the archives of Soundbites, because we know they're clean.
Yep.
And but
good to go.
That's right. If you're running Winamp, you should do that. Well, okay, we're going to head to the phones. And our first caller is Brian from Scottsville, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Well, I've got a problem that's been bothering me for the last 2 weeks. I can't seem to load an operating system on my computer.
That would be a problem.
Yeah. Well, about three or 4 weeks ago, I got a virus. So I was using Avast.
You were using what?
Avast.
Avast. Right.
Mm-hmm. And it found the virus, but couldn't seem to eliminate it. So I just said, okay, to heck with this, I'm turning it off. And when I turned it back on, I was having trouble with Windows. I was running XP. This is I'm using an HP Pavilion 9870.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened since then was I figured I'm just going to wipe the hard drive, put on the Windows ME that came with the computer.
Nope.
See, that's how desperate I was.
You were desperate.
Yeah.
Holy
and
mackerel.
So that loaded fine, but then when I started running it, all these different modules in the operating system kept saying it couldn't run, so we're closing Windows. And so I said, okay, let's try it again. And so even Windows ME will not load. And then,
well, it sounds like it's loading but not running properly, which is
right.
Different solutions.
And when you formatted the drive, did you also re-F disk it?
I did not. I tried using F disk. I tried using a couple different programs, and that didn't seem to work. Another thing that I did was I have the Windows XP disk mm-hmm. with SP1
mm-hmm.
that's supposed to automatically boot and load on the hard drive.
Right.
And I get a problem has been detected and Windows has been shut down to prevent damage to your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And it says check for viruses, remove any newly installed hard drives, hard drive controllers, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And the stop code is 0x, and then I think it's 707B. And then there's 1, 2, 3, 4 different other codes
mm-hmm.
that go with it. So
you might have. How new is this hard drive?
The hard drive is actually fairly old.
You might have some bad sectors. If you're having problems loading an operating system and you've tried loading it a couple different times, you could have some bad sectors on that hard drive, and that's why it's not loading.
It will happen on this one. This is a 40-gig hard drive, and I also have a 12-gig hard drive that it's doing the same thing on.
That'd be something
well, that
more
could be
in the computer. RAM or logic board something. And
you need some diagnostics.
Yeah, it sounds like there's more
system.
Wrong.
Yeah, I mean, okay. It could be, like I say, that's usually a hard drive or it could be a memory issue.
Generally, the 7B, that 7B stop code you've gotten is usually generated by either bad drivers or bad hardware.
Okay.
And if you're getting this error while booted from the CD, that's really indicative of hardware.
Yeah, okay, now as to what piece of hardware, that's a very tough thing to fix.
Yeah, you got to have a diagnostic.
And that's why you take it to guys like Dave or Steve, because they can, they've got all the equipment there. They can try a different hard drive, try a different controller, try
a
different
whatever. Well, the other thing is quite often I'll put that system on a bench, and we have this couple different software packages where I start it, say, in the morning, and I tell it to run a bunch of tests both on the you know, the motherboard, CPU, memory, hard drive, and it just keeps running all day long until, you know, it's done in the following day, and then I can get a report out, and it literally beats on the machine.
Yep. One thing I might suggest you try, though, is MemTest 86. Could be bad RAM.
Yeah.
If he's got bad, low RAM, that could be causing a problem.
But again, sometimes you've got to run these tests just more than once.
Yeah.
Because, well, you run mem tests for days and days and days.
Oh, that's what needs.
Yeah.
For it to get it to fail.
Exactly. Our next caller,
John,
is John from Greece. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hello, fellas. I'm actually making a follow-up call. I called a week or two ago and asked you whether I should save or run a file. You said always save it so it gets antivirus checked.
Mm-hmm.
Now, today, I get a message from Google Earth, and they say to please upgrade to a new thing. So I say, okay, save. And then it brings up all my little places, you know, where I can save every kind of thing from documents to pictures to God knows what.
Right.
And offers to allow me to save it in any of those locations. And I'm thinking, isn't there a right place to put it and a wrong place to put it? And how do I decide?
Well, the wrong place is anywhere you won't remember where you put it.
Yeah.
The easiest place is just throw it on the desktop, and then you can find it.
Are you running Windows?
Later.
Windows, yes.
Then you should have a My Downloads folder.
Yeah, create different folders.
If you put things generally in the My Downloads folder, you'll always know where they are.
Ah, mm-hmm. I see.
In addition, hi there, how are you? What browser are you using?
Internet Explorer.
Stop doing that.
Okay.
Yeah. You want to use Firefox. But in any case, inside either one of those, you can set the default download folder.
Uh-huh.
And if you then set it to my downloads, okay, then they'll always be there. And if you don't have a downloads folder, make one.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And always put your downloads in there, then you'll always know where they are.
Give me a little bit. I hear you guys talk about this, but I've never quite understood why Internet Explorer is a bad thing. I mean, it seems to work for me. Why
it works great. That's
oh,
not
works
the question.
Fantastic.
The problem is that it is so prevalent on so many machines that it is one of the number one targets for the virus writers.
Uh-huh. And spam. And pop-ups.
Right, and all of those people are targeting it because it's so prevalent. Whereas if you use something like Firefox, first it has a bunch of features to prevent pop-ups and spam and stuff. You'll see those in Internet Explorer 7 that's coming out. But you can get them now in Firefox. And because it's not as prevalent, there are way fewer exploits against it.
And the big issue can be that Internet Explorer is so tied into the operating system that you can go to a web page, and without you knowing it, it will download, install, and run a program behind the window.
Yeah,
and that's how
else.
A lot of spyware gets into computers. Because right. You don't know it's doing that. Internet Explorer just does it for you.
Because right. That's what Gates' whole case was.
Yeah, the reality is my browser doesn't need root access to my system. I'm sorry, it just doesn't. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Litton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Litton.
And we're going to bring you more phone calls. We have a couple of people on the line, but before we do that, I do want to talk about one other interesting thing that's going on. As you know, digital rights management technology is here. We have it in a lot of things in a lot of places. Librarians nowadays are really worried that the rapid rise of DRM, digital rights management, will threaten their ability to archive copyrighted works and lend them to multiple patrons. The British Library recently told the BBC they're concerned about the excessive use of DRM and how it could cause a lot of different problems. What's interesting is that the blogosphere, always ready to jump on any issue that somebody else has already jumped on, has jumped on this one too, and they've got millions of people blogging about digital rights management and how bad it is. For things like that, we've always had a right in this country to go to a library and get a copy of a book to read and then return it. It's Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and all those guys were all behind that sort of thing. And it really seems to me that in the future, as we turn more toward electronic things, we're going to find that a lot of stuff can't be borrowed.
Stay at the library and read it. And that actually is a nice segue here. This coming Wednesday, February 8th, Nick Francesco is going to be speaking.
Who?
The infamous Nick Francesco.
Infamous is the word I would use.
Is going to be speaking at the Apple Cider meeting this Wednesday, February 8th, 7 p.m. at East High School. And it's going to be talking about intellectual property rights on the internet and digital rights management and what you are allowed and not allowed to do. And how many people that
really?
Don't know it's illegal to download music from the internet.
I think I'll go. I can't wait to see what he's going to say. Wow.
Yeah, that's good. That's going to be a pretty cool meeting.
Tell you what, take notes and let me know what he has to say.
And where is that again and when?
Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, February 8th, East High School, corner of Main and Culver, in the Forum Room at 7 p.m. And you can get more information at applecider.org.
Cool. I'll be there. Sure. I'll guarantee you I'll be there.
Say hello to Nick for me.
See, I will. So okay. You should all come down and we'll talk about digital rights management. Only keep it clean. All right. You have no idea. People get fired up about digital rights management.
Right. I want to steal this music on the internet.
Right. Yeah. First, they're going to be the people who say it's their God-given right to steal everything that they can get their hands on. That's fine.
It's not stealing. No, that's the biggest thing. Oh, it's not stealing.
If you didn't make it, you don't have a right to copy it.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much it. Well, yeah.
How do they?
Thank you. Yes.
How do they come up with that conclusion, though? It's not stealing.
Well, because if it really is stealing, then they have a moral obligation not to do it because their parents brought them up right. But if they can pretend it's not stealing, then you know they can get away with it. Then that's fine. That's the way that works. It's going to be, I think, a lively and freewheeling discussion, and we'd love to have you all join us. Come on down. We'll all raise our blood pressure together. It'll be an interesting evening. How many people come to these meetings?
About 100.
Okay. I'll bring some pens. and we'll have a good time.
You haven't given me any pens lately.
All right. I'll get you some pens. Jeez and crackers. It's all about the pens for him. All right. We're going to take a break. Rob's in to do the news, and we have the two Robs in the... in the booth over there, vying for the little tiny amount of space we give them while we're in here with the hot tub and everything. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Valentine.
From PCs to Macs. Answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton. Boy, you guys got it all sorts of romantic in there. You got the lights dim, the blinds down.
We're trying to get the camera set up.
We got the camera working again. The Soundbites cam is working, but...
are you sure it's the Soundbites cam? I can barely see you in there.
Well, that's right, but this thing is still too bright. Dave's just completely washed out.
I look like a ghost.
Dave, whose hair is actually almost as white as mine, is completely washed out. Steve... Well, I think that's just Steve, and I'm off in the corner here somewhere. You can't even see me, but if you could, I suspect you would find me washed out too, yes. And it's just, I'm sorry, but there's too much light in this place. Can we just turn it all off? No, that's fine. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to talk to Ron from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Yeah, good morning. Two quick questions. One, I need to buy DVD CDs, okay? And there's two kinds. There are DVD plus and DVD minus. We're trying to find out what the minus and plus are for.
The minus are more compatible with other drives and DVD video players. The plus are more expensive because they're a little more versatile. It allows for random rewriting like a hard drive. With the minus, you author your data, you burn it once, and that's it.
Okay, that would be the same thing for just plain CDs as well?
Yes. Although the CD plus format never really caught on.
Well, CDs either have CDs you only get either they're CDRs or CDRWs.
Right.
There's no plus or minus.
Well, they're all minus. The plus format never caught on. It's not really a hyphen between that CD minus R. It's a minus.
Yeah, but you only see
right.
But in the store you only see them as CD.
Now DVDs have both.
Yeah, yes. You'll see the same thing. You'll see plus and minus and R and RW.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to use the discs for your own computer, it doesn't really matter. But if you're going to make a disc to give to someone else, minus R is the most compatible format.
Okay, great. Now,
there's another complication coming out now. You're going to see dual layer discs, DL, usually in the descriptor name, and that they hold 8 gigabytes per disc. So as new
that's
dual
DVDs,
right, in DVD format. So you're going to start seeing those media available as well.
Okay.
And you have to have a dual layer drive in order to read those.
Oh, okay. Now, also, if I can ask another question, getting email and someone sending you pictures, what is the best way to get the pictures over to my documents without getting all the garbage included in that?
Right click on the picture and save as.
Save the image, yeah.
I'll just save it then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And save it to a separate folder.
Yeah, instead of saving the email message, right-click on each picture in the message, and when you get a drop-down menu, pick Save As.
There's also, depending on your email program, likely a Save Attachments command that will save the attachment separately from saving the message itself.
Okay. All right, great. All right, thank you very much.
That's our pleasure. Thank you. A couple of other interesting things going on in the news. We'll get back to the phone shortly, but the Blackworm DVD, Blackworm virus, also known as the Kama Sutra and the Nixum and the My Wife and blah, 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 blah. It pretty much turned out to be a
non-event.
Well, and the reason is it's just like Y2K. We spent so much time prepping for it that it never bothered anybody because we were ready. The same thing was true of Blackworm. Everybody who actually upgraded their antivirus any time in the last year was pretty well protected against it.
Well, because this was just another iteration of a worm that had already been out before.
Right.
And it was just some script kiddie that had, you know, claimed the fame and got the word out there, oh, it's going to strike on every month on the third.
Yeah. Well, so now here, that was his big mistake is that he gave us too much lead time.
Well, exactly. Well, I have to tell you, though, I mean, everybody says, well, it didn't hit. It couldn't have been a big deal. 18% of every single email on the 2nd of February had the virus in it. 18% of every email.
Which is hundreds of millions.
Hundreds of millions of emails. The worm affected anywhere between 300 and 400,000 computers worldwide, but only about 20,000 of them actually were retained the infection by the date because people cleaned it. It wasn't that it wasn't a bad worm and that it wasn't going to do bad things. It's that we protected ourselves against it.
Yeah, if you had antivirus software on your machine and it's been updated, like you say, within the past few months, then you were safe.
Right.
It was going to catch it.
Right. So I'm always amazed by the people who say, oh, nothing happened. It was just hype. It was just nonsense. It was just BS. No, we did it right. We fixed it before it killed us all.
Or those people haven't noticed that their documents are missing.
Oh, there's that. Yeah, there is that.
Oh, which brings me on to my rant.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
I got it.
Everybody sit down. Now would be a good time to go out for popcorn. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dave.
No, this just frustrates the living hell out of me. And it's the only polite way to put it. And I know Steve runs into it, too. You get somebody's machine in, and they give you a laundry list of stuff they want to fix. You fix it. They go home. You get a call. Well, this isn't working. It wasn't on the list.
Yeah.
Well, what, don't you check it? Folks, it's like you go in for surgery. Say you're going in to have your tonsils out. Well, while you're on the operating table, the doctor doesn't turn around and check your gallbladder, your appendix, and your heart and everything else. You go in there for one specific thing, and that's what he fixes. Now, you bring your computer in, and we'll go through, and we'll check various things, you know. But to check every individual program, and this happened to be a client brought her machine in, and what was having to get in, one of her problems was getting the internet going. Well, we got it going. Well, she took it. Well, these other sites aren't working. I can't go through your whole favorites list testing every site.
Because if you charge them for that, they get really quirky about it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's $1,100 for bench time. What? Well, I checked every website, every program, every document. What? Nobody would pay for that.
Well, but yet, you know, and I wasn't trying to be bad. I said, well, bring it back in. I'll take a look at it. They come back and, well, you're going to work at it right now? No, I've got some other people here. Leave it now. You know, get to it pretty soon.
We finally put up a little sign on our office. Our regular rates. You know, if you want it in a week, if you want it in a day, you know, same day rate, $500 an hour. If you want it, if you want to wait for it, $500 an hour.
Right. Anything you're willing to pay for, we'll do. We're gonna take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave the Ranter and Wright. Steve, you'll pay for it if you want it today. And Ray and Rob, Linton, I'm Nick Francesco. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
We're ready for your calls at 2 for you on Monday morning, 5 till 9 on the Wham Morning News.
Charged her 4.
Hello.
You guys are on. The computer just freaked out and decided to give me all of the Brenna and Brenna audio, so I have to figure out how to fix that because you guys aren't Brenna and Brenna.
We aren't.
So,
no.
Yeah.
No. Oh, so anyway, man. No wonder
why don't you play the voice guy?
Hi there. We know that everybody else in the world knows a lot more about everything else than the guys on Soundbites. Let's see what they actually think they can pretend they know. Here
this
they are, Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Hi there, we're back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
Hey, and this is Soundbites.
Cool.
Before, am I going to get paid his rate too?
Yeah.
Those of you who are using Adobe dang near anything, Creative Suite 2, Photoshop CS2, Adobe Illustrator CS2.
Just say Adobe.
Adobe, basically.
Now all the Macromedia products, because Adobe bought Macromedia. So Freehand, Dreamweaver, Flash, Shockwave.
Right. There's a security flaw in them that could allow an unauthorized user to change certain program files. Now, that's not a problem for you if you're the only user of your computer. But if multiple people use your machines or you're at work and there's stuff on a network and blah, 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 you really need to upgrade. Then this affects, oh, by the way, Mac people just as much as it affects Windows people. So you should definitely.
Oh,
let me finish on that. You didn't go where I thought you were going.
Okay.
Because
you want to go where you think you're
I
going?
I never go where you're going.
Yeah.
The huge news for the Mac users coming out of Adobe is they are not going to be releasing their current CS2 products, Photoshop, Illustrator, etc., for the Intel-based Macs. You're going to have to wait probably a year for CS3. So if you're considering purchasing an Intel-based Mac and you're running one of these high-end graphic programs,
don't
reconsider. Yeah, buy a PowerPC Mac.
I thought it was just a matter of recompile and you were done.
Yes, but Adobe doesn't want to do that for products they're currently shipping. They're going to do it for the product currently under development.
Okay, then. Thank you for your support of the customer, Mr. Adobe.
You were saying, and it should apply to you know, how you said each person that uses the computer. On that same vein, when you folks are running the Security Tango, and we tell you to do the Adaware and the SpyBot, Adaware and SpyBot also have to be run on every ID. So if you've got 6 different folks that log on to that Windows XP machine, all 6 of them have to have Adaware and SpyBot run on them.
Right.
Because it hides under each identity. You don't have to run the Stinger part in the antivirus software because that'll check everything. But the Adaware and SpyBot go by individual.
If you run as administrator, it doesn't collect it? Doesn't grab it?
No, not the Adaware and SpyBot have to go with each ID because they go specifically to that login.
And we've recommended having multiple usernames so that you keep definitely have a regular user that you run in normally and don't run as the administrator user. But it's nice for mom, dad, and each of the kids to have their own account name.
And desktop.
So their own desktop settings, their own files, their own separate email, their own separate files. So
it means they can't get at yours.
Right, so they can't accidentally delete your checkbook.
Yeah, because it was so cluttered with icons, I couldn't see background.
Yeah, I've seen those.
And it's like, whoa.
I've seen those.
There's a thing called folders. The more, you know, I mean, here's the thing, folks. I'm not against having things on my desktop, but there's this thing called organization. And if you wind up, you know, getting them organized into a folder,
you might find it again later.
And, of course, if you keep things on the desktop, every icon takes up
space.
That's space
what
in the heap. In the heap. And
all
you
right,
have
I'll quiet down.
Else.
I see you too.
That was classic. Here's Nick and I going. Da, 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 da.
Yeah,
Nick
I saw it.
Talky thing with our hands. You know,
we can see it. I can see the reflection.
We fixed the computer, though. That's good news.
That's
we.
Good.
But the great thing about a computer problem during a computer show is that I just make you guys fix it.
Right, right. Yeah. Except we're on the air and you're stuck in the little booth.
And you
we
pretty
don't
much
go in the
don't
booth
care
because
you
know? We don't like the heat and the.
We're not allowed
because we like the jacuzzi.
You like the what?
The jacuzzi we got out here in the good booth.
Yeah, and your dimmed lights and the candles
the
and incense
lights,
and stuff.
The candles, the music.
The wine
sure.
comes in shortly.
Absolutely. We're going to go back to the phones now. Our next caller is Tom from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Morning, guys. Question on an MP3 player that we connect to our computer here. Yeah. What happens is you connect it in, and the little LCD has a diagram of a connection, so that appears to be working. And what we do is we'll download a song, we save it into a folder, and then you click on my computer and the MP3 player is in like removable drive E. So then we save the song into that removable drive E, which is the MP3 player, and all is well and everything works.
Mm-hmm.
Sound right so far?
Yep.
Okay, and it was. The problem we're having is when we connect it in, there's no removable drive E anymore. We can't find it. So we can't really save it to the MP3 player. And I got two USB ports, and I've tried them both. Now, the diagram is there on the MP3 player.
Yeah, that's just a physical connection.
But when you connect it, do you get a warning that something's been connected?
No, I don't get a warning or anything. It just usually it's like a...
Do you hear the little chirp? When you plug a USB device in, it usually chirps at you?
No chirp, no warning.
Something's messed up in the drivers.
It sounds like your USB drivers got mucked up.
Yeah,
the USB driver in general or that specific device driver?
Right, I would replace that device driver first. If that doesn't work, remove the USB drivers, reboot, let the system find the USB drivers again. We got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Nick Francesco, all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
But then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham! Now, back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome, everybody. I don't know, but I think I'm Nick Francesco.
I could be Dave Enright.
I might be Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton, for sure.
Sure?
He knows that.
Well, ask his mother for a second opinion.
The last time I checked my ID.
Oh, see, but your ID is so fake, we don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah, but that was the back of his T-shirt. His mother sewed in the name.
Sewed his name's in. I'm Fruit of the Loom. Just call me Fruit. Our next caller is Sherwin.
Wait a minute. Hang on.
What?
Just call you. Never mind.
Just keep walking. Just keep moving on. We're moving on to Sherman. Sherwin. Sherwin from Webster. Welcome, Sherwin. What's your question? Are you there?
Yes. Hello?
Hi.
I have a Windows XP system, and the admin password wouldn't work. I found out by accident what was happening. For some reason, in a WinLogon dialog box, if you press a numeric key, you get a lowercase character with a brev character above it.
Yeah.
And if you press a shift and a numeric key, you get the numeric numbers the way they're supposed to be. I'm wondering how that could have gotten remapped, but it only affects the WinLogon dialog box. Once you get into an application, the numeric keys work fine the way they're supposed to. What could have caused it, and how can I fix it?
Do you normally log in as the administrator?
No.
What it sounds like is the administrator's keyboard got remapped.
Yeah.
And the administrator's keyboard is the one that counts when you're logging in.
Okay.
Until you log in as your user, and then you get your settings, which could be different. So what you want to do is log in as the administrator and change the keyboard map back to what you want it to be. And, of course, you do that through the control panel.
Okay. Because what we do is I can log in remotely to a Linux server.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the users on this log into the Linux server. They don't log into the PC itself.
Right.
Right.
And you can log in that way, and I got in that way to fix, you know, to work on the PC. But I couldn't log in as admin. I logged in as administrator, and that worked. I got in as administrator, and I tried to change the administrator password.
Right.
And I had the same problem because of the keyboard.
Well, yeah, you can't log
change the keyboard first.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Plus, I don't know as if it'll let you, since you're logging from a remote, change the admin password. That might have to be done on the actual server, the machine you're logging on to.
Well, no, I was able to do that. I got in and because I had tried to assign a password to administrator,
mm-hmm.
and it wouldn't let me log in as administrator. But I went in from the Linux server and I was able to set the administrator password back to default.
Okay,
right.
But so I got to remap the keyboard.
Yeah, try remapping the keyboard.
Change the keyboard. Change the what's the word I'm looking for? The country or the
code
country.
Page.
Yeah. The code page.
Yeah.
That's it.
So try it out.
There's also a couple of viruses that screw with your keyboard. The no
That's
vowel,
the technical term.
Right. There's the no vowel virus that removes all the vowels, so you can't type any vowels. And there might be one that swaps other keys around.
That's
just
very
true.
And Sherwin should also make sure that he's run the Tango on the administrator section. Our next caller, Angelo from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Angelo. What's your question?
Hi, I got a in my network dial-up network box on Windows 2000. I get a local area cable disconnected.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this just started happening after I reinstalled Norton's.
Can you get on the internet?
No.
Yeah,
I can if I reinstall the.
Is this Norton 2005 or 2006?
Excuse me?
What version of Norton?
2006.
And which Norton program? Antivirus, firewall, utility, which?
Just the antivirus.
Just the antivirus?
It also installed worm protection. And
yeah. And
a lot of times what happens, too, is the firewall security is set so high that your computer can't get out.
Be honest with you, I'm really starting to hate Norton.
Yeah.
And 2006 confirms it. Literally, we have taken it off of a bunch of machines and just put on simple AVG and zone alarm, and all the problems go away.
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to integrate and do more, and they're stepping on their own feet.
So is there something I can switch off in Norton's?
You could try shutting down the internet security part and see if you get connected that way. I have just, like I say, I'm more and more getting more disgusted with Norton because they're trying to do too much and take control and not considering what else is going on. It's literally blocking anything and everything from getting out to the internet.
Yeah.
It's like they went from one extreme to the other, being semi-cautious to totally cautious, and you ain't getting out to do anything.
Right. I can get out on my XP machine. Now, that's a wireless router. It's a wireless card, so it says cable unplugged, which it isn't because it's wireless, you know.
But
that sounds like what the problem is. Definitely. Uninstall Norton, see if it goes away. Then you'll know. That's the easiest test to make. If it does, then you might want to head for the Security Tango at securitytango.com and check out things like AVG and Zone Alarm, which are free. All right. That's becoming a much more common problem with Norton.
Norton, too. Plus, you got to do, once you install it, on the average, to get it to work, you've got to download and install updates and reboot at least 5 times.
Yeah.
It's the creeping feature-itis that we've talked about for years, is that they have to sell more products, so they have to add some feature to convince you want to buy it. And internet security is the big buzzword now.
But boy, they went overboard. I mean,
it's so secure, you can't get to the internet. You're safe.
To get the updates.
Yeah.
Because they've locked it down so bad.
Yeah, so definitely, those of you who are using Norton and experiencing any kind of weird problems, try uninstalling Norton and see what happens. Now, we don't recommend that you run without antivirus or firewall.
No,
why we say AVG and zone alarm and stuff like that. RIM, by the way, I should mention, those of you who are BlackBerry users, RIM won their patent case in the UK. RIM is being sued by pretty much everybody on Earth for patent infringement on the BlackBerry. And
if you use a BlackBerry, you should be finding a new service.
Yeah, you really, well, we don't know yet, but it's certainly a possibility. A lot of people have determined that, you know, they'll have to pry the BlackBerry out of their cold, dead hands, but you may end up with a cold, dead BlackBerry because we don't know what's going to happen here in the U.S., although in the U.K., RIM did win a patent case. One of many. Actually, they won two. but we'll see what happens. Listen, we're going to take a break. It's time for the news. Rob is in to give us all the best information. And then we'll be back on the other side of the news with a whole lot more Dave Enright and Steve Ray and Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. We've got a bunch of folks on the line. If you're not on the line, call in. If you are on the line, hang on. We'll get back to you on the other side of the news on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We've got folks on the line. Get to them in a minute. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about what happens at our website, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. What?
What's the website again?
Soundbites.org.
Just checking.
That's bites with a Y.
You had people do sound B-I-T-E-S before?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a completely different place.
What is it?
I'm not going to tell you. And there's a real problem on the internet and has been there for a long time. Teens who are putting themselves at risk online. On websites such as MySpace.com, teenagers can find folks all over the world who share all their interests, sports and whatever, photography, whatever it happens to be. Gossip about the latest Hollywood star, the teen hunks, whatever that's about. The problem is they're also finding a lot of trouble online. Millions of people can in seconds find out where they go to school, learn their interests, download their pictures, instantly send them messages. Now, we've talked about this 100,000 times before. The best way to keep your kids safe is to keep the computer in a public space and monitor what they do and where they go.
Get it out of their room.
Get it out of their rooms. You know, when
get
I was
them,
a
get
kid...
Get them headphones if you don't want the noise, but...
Right. Get them headphones. That's fine. But you want the computer in a public place.
See what's going on that screen.
Where if you happen to walk by, you can see what's going on.
Yep.
And that's a problem that's been going on for a long time. So that's what this week's poll is about. I monitor my children's activities online, and the choices are yes, no, don't have any, and of course, for those of you who don't read, the Macintosh. Last week's poll was about OS X viruses. Most of you aren't going to waste any of your time worrying about it. 252 of you voted, making it number 178 in the all-time hit list. Thank you very much. So far, we've got 83 votes. The vast majority of our listeners apparently don't have children, which makes sense for a geek show, I guess.
Well, no, I've got kids, but I don't.
All right.
I mean, a lot of the
folks then you would have answered no, as opposed to don't have any.
Right. Right. I did.
It was a big day in my house a couple of weeks ago. My son, who's 7, graduated from Nick Jr. to the full Nick.com.
Oh, very impressive. Very impressive. But my my daughter's computer is in the computer room. If she's going to be online, she's in the same room I am. I can look over my shoulder and see what she's doing. And if she doesn't like it, she can go out and buy her own computer. As long as I'm the one who paid for it.
And get her own internet service.
And get her own internet service. I'm not paying for it. If she wants to do it her way, she can do it her way. But that's the deal. And the reality is, folks, we can't say this often enough. You know, when I was a kid and somebody was like reading dirty magazines or whatever, or so I'm told, I wouldn't know this myself, of course, but you hid them somewhere. You didn't read them in the living room. The same thing is true of online stuff. You know, you wouldn't, and in terms of chat rooms and things like that, you wouldn't take your kid downtown and just drop him or her on a street corner and say, good luck. You know, the same thing is true on the internet. Don't just leave them out there alone. Anyway, so that's the poll. When you're done with the poll, there's a little yellow box underneath it. You can click on Give Us Your Opinion. It will take you to my website, AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. I'm not sure what was happening there, but there were a lot of people watching it.
Well, it was Super Bowl.
Oh, I see. Where you can leave.
By the way, I hear there's some sort of a big game on today.
Could be.
Is look there? At Chris. Look at
Chris is ready. Chris is ready. Steelers or Seahawks, Chris? Number one?
Seahawks?
Steelers. He wants the Bills to win.
Yeah. He wants the Bills to win.
So now, see, when I was a kid, it was
you have as much chance as the Bills have ever had in a Super Bowl. Congratulations.
Yeah, when I was a kid, it was the Steelers and the Cowboys every year.
So
it was almost no big deal. Well, who's in the Super Bowl? Steelers and Cowboys again.
Steelers and Cowboys. So, yeah, but at any rate, go to my website and leave a message and take a look around on my website and see what you like. And then go back and head on over to the Soundbites forums. Some of the greatest people in the internet are there, and it's pretty neat stuff.
I love some of his stuff, especially Lolly. Lolly Gag, who is down in Washington, she's posting a lot of stuff, and they even had one there. She put on a blonde joke, started a blonde thread. And I like the one she put up.
Sure, she can do it. She's a redhead.
Yeah. But this woman calls her boyfriend because she's having trouble getting this puzzle together. And he goes, well, what's the puzzle about? She says, well, it's got a tiger on the front. So the boyfriend goes over, looks at it. She's got it spread all over the table. And says, well, we better put this all back in the box. She was trying to put it together because the box on the front had Tony the Tiger.
Yeah. All righty then.
That's great.
Dave Enright, ladies and gentlemen.
No, that's some of the stuff in the forum.
Enright at soundbites.org. Dave at soundbites.org.
No, that's
Dave
some Enright. Of the fun Dave that you'll see in the forum.
Don't write Steve for that one. Don't write me for that one.
I got to tell you something. Seriously.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
You guys are all looking at me like you interrupted us. No, listen. I got to tell you something. I got two phone calls this week at my other job.
Congratulations.
Now listen to me.
Oh, there's more.
Asking if I fix computers. And I said, sure, what's the problem? No, I'm just kidding.
You're right.
No, it's bizarre. I do not fix computers.
I get people who call me all the time at work. I cannot even return their phone calls. Our IT does not pay me to help other people with their computer problems if they're not a college or business person. And I'm not going to lose my job because somebody needs computer help in the middle of the day. I just cannot respond to those.
Oh,
I can't.
Yeah.
Well, some poor lady, and I won't mention her name on the air, called me four or five times this week. I can't call her back. I can't. Well, and I won't do it at home because I have private time with my family. So it's here, it's TV, it's newspaper, it's wherever you want to get me, but not at work and not at home.
That's it's just funny because people think because I produce the show, I know about computers.
Yeah,
okay,
he does
Dave,
it,
how many times
gentlemen.
Have I brought my computer
he does
to
not,
you saying, fix
he's
it,
He's not
please.
A computer yeah. whiz.
Well, yeah. The other thing, too, though.
You should have seen the look on his face when the Brennan stuff started to play over here. He really was thinking,
I wanted
plug
to kick this
hammer.
Thing out onto Euclid
plug
Street.
Plug or hammer, those are my two choices at this point.
And the other point, too, though, is my wife, who only hands out the checklist.
Right.
Don't email her your computer questions either, folks, because she usually passes them on to me.
Right.
And she's like, well, how do we do this? I said, no, tell them to call the show.
That's
they had
how
this
works.
Whole laundry list that they wanted her to fix it. She knows enough to, she's an end user. And God love
she's
my
a
wife.
Sweetheart and one of the smartest people I've ever met. Yeah. Not a computer person.
She is not. She if it's broke, she goes. She fixes it. Dave, it's not working. Make it work.
That's right.
That's how she makes it. Fixes it.
All right. Our next caller, Chris from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Chris. What's your question?
How's it going, guys? Got a quick one for you here. Went to do some basic maintenance this morning. Just as far as your security tango goes, shut down all the programs and noticed that my background screen had changed from the picture we had up there to just the default blue.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't think anything of it. It's a computer that's open for everybody in the house to use. Powered it off, turned it back on, and then I could not log in. It wouldn't accept my passwords for either the administrator or the user account that I normally use. While I was on hold, I heard about this null-vowel virus, which could possibly apply. But
It's also possible that somebody in the house changed all the passwords.
Well, even for the administrator account, I couldn't get in, and nobody here even knows. The other users are a five-year-old and my wife, so I highly doubt either.
Can you get in safe mode under admin?
I didn't try, to be honest. I pulled a program. It's Peter Hagen. It's a Windows NT registry editor. It's written in Linux.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was able to go through and reset the passwords. It said with his utility that both those accounts were locked. I was able to unlock them and set the passwords back to default. and then get in, and I'm up and running now.
Right.
My question is, I'm running a Sonic Wall firewall. You know, we have virus software that updates automatically every day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that this came in from outside somehow.
Could be a Trojan.
Okay, and that's something that was probably just an email attachment.
Yep.
All right.
What do you use for your email?
Outlook.
There's one of your issues. One of the things you might want to do is to help protect you and your family is, one, go to Firefox for your browser and Thunderbird for your email.
And I've heard you guys preaching this for a while.
I mean, 99% of the viruses / Trojans attack Outlook Express or Outlook.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do their best to try to block some of it, but if you really want to, you know, avoid it totally, go to Thunderbird, and you've got great junk control and everything else, and it just does a better job.
And, well, and Chris, what was that Linux utility you used?
This right now, it was written by Peter N. Hagen, and it just calls it Window NT Registry.
H-A-G-G-I-N?
H-A-G-E-N.
Peter Hagen.
Hagen, excuse me, yes.
All right, yeah, all right. I thought it was a different one I'd never heard of.
Okay. Nope, seemed to work very well, very user-friendly for somebody who's not versed in a lot of how the setups are. But I was able to go through, reset each one of these, and get back up and running.
Cool.
But I wanted to check with the masters here and see how I could prevent this from happening again.
Well, they're not available, but yeah. You have our answer anyway.
We'll have
anyway.
Them call you.
Well, thanks, guys. It sounds like it is time to switch over to Firefox and Thunderbird.
Yes, it is.
All right, I got my freebie. Thank you.
Thanks. Our next caller is Nick from Henrietta. Welcome, Nick. What's your question?
Good afternoon. When I boot up, I get a message that says I've either got a configuration or a line missing in line 14 or HiSim's memory is corrupted.
You're running Windows 98.
Correct, 98 second edition.
All right, what you can do is if you go to start run and type in sysedit, S-Y-S-E-D-I-T, and hit enter. It'll open up a window, and it opens up like the system .ini, winini, and you can go to the config and count down to line 14 and see the error. You can always rem it out.
And yeah, you can tell what line 14 is, see what it is, and try to figure out why that command is now no longer valid.
But if it's still booting,
apparently it used to be because you've been running the machine.
Yeah, and if it's still booting fine, then you're no issue. It's just hiccuping because it's looking for maybe a particular driver or something else that maybe you eliminated, uninstalled in Windows, but it's still there in the config file.
Right. All right, our next caller, John from Penfield, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Yes, how are you doing today? The question I have for you is I'm using the Security Tangle Let's Dance for the first time.
Good for you.
And I did the Stinger, like it said to, you know, you have to download it every time, and I have the Shredder after that. But when I go to scan now, I look at the list viruses, it says there's 55.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get rid of them? Because it didn't tell me what you do next.
It deletes any of them that it finds.
Yeah, see what it does, Stinger is just a utility put out by McAfee.
Okay.
That all it does is look for those 55 particular viruses. Those 55 are known viruses that will shut down McAfee, Norton, AVG, any of the virus programs from being able to update to get rid of the original virus.
Okay.
And the only reason you really need to run Stinger is if your original antivirus software is out of date.
Okay.
Because your regular antivirus software will eliminate over 318,000 viruses.
Okay, yeah, and I do use that.
Well, as long as your antivirus software is up to date, then, you know, that's keeping everything out.
And if Stinger is finding errors on your computer and finding those some of those viruses, it will delete them.
Right.
If it can't delete them, you likely have to run the program in safe mode because the viruses are in memory. It won't let it be deleted.
So there you go. That's how that works.
That's how that works. Going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Computer talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benrick.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We should talk a little bit about this. There's a couple of, before we get back to the phones, there's a couple of Apple things we should talk about. First, Apple Computer has applied for a patent on several methods of applying gestures to touch-sensitive input devices. Now, what's most interesting about this is Apple currently has no touch-sensitive input devices. So the assumption has to be that at some point we will see a touch-sensitive input device from Apple Computer. Well, I guess the pads on the keyboard, maybe.
Yeah, there's a couple of gestures now that they use with trackpads that a lot of laptops have. You use one finger to control your cursor. On a lot of Apple machines, if you use two fingers, it scrolls. So it gives you the benefit of the scroll button without actually needing another button on your mouse. But yeah, there's a lot of people on the net search through the patent databases looking for what Apple might be doing next.
Right.
They search for domain name registration and copyright registration and patent registration. So there's rumors about a touchscreen iPod instead of the click wheel. It'll be on the screen itself.
And one of the things that they patented was using your finger on a wheel on the screen, a wheel-like motion on the screen.
So if they make the screen on the iPod bigger, which would better suit a full-size video iPod with a bigger screen, they can remove the control buttons from the iPod itself and make the control buttons part of the screen like the Palm devices do.
Right.
And like the Newton before it, everything goes back to the Newton, which was this amazing product that
didn't
catch on.
It's all about the Newton, isn't it?
A year after Apple abandoned the Newton, Palm came out with the Pilot,
right,
and revolutionized the
right.
industry. Yeah.
Well, and one of the other things that they patented was a method of turning a virtual page, such as you might find, say, in an electronic book. Now, the other interesting thing on Apple's list, Adonix Technologies announced a cable that lets a Toshiba 1.8-inch hard drive, which is the same drive used in the Apple iPod, to be connected to a computer. However, this cable could prove to be the RIAA's latest weapon in the war over sharing copyrighted music. By itself, the $15 cable provides a little connection between the 40-pin IDE hard drive and little 1.8-inch Toshiba. And you can connect it to serial ATA and FireWire and USB and blah, 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 blah. However, the cable was also commissioned by some computer forensics experts who needed a way to determine if illegally copied data was stored on the iPod's drive. A standard IDE write blocker can be used to turn the Toshiba drive into a read-only device for forensic applications, and it can be used to isolate instances for backing up a user's iPod in the event that the drive is suspected of failing. Pretty interesting. The iPod is a natively USB-based device. Adonix isn't recommending that users use this to void their warranty, crack the iPod case and stuff like that. Where an iPod may be close to failing, its data are inaccessible, the cable may allow users to rescue some data from the drive.
Now, for a while on the Mac Mini, or the Apple Mini iPod, which has a 1-inch drive, smaller yet than this 1.8, people were buying them and pulling the hard drives out because the hard drives were going for $400, and you could buy the Mini iPod for $250.
Right, right. And then they were selling the drives on eBay.
Yeah.
Nice deal if you can get it.
Yeah, Apple buying things in quantity. But there have been these conversion kits for a while for all the different sized hard drives. We use them a lot to be able to plug an IDE drive into a FireWire bus and connect it into a computer for recovering data. So it's we're a little annoyed now that the SATA adapters, the IDE adapters are pretty cheap, but now the SATA FireWire bridges are like $300, and it's annoying.
Right, right, right.
So now we can get the little 1.5-inch drives and recover data from iPods if necessary.
That's very nice. And it's only a $15 item.
$15 cable. It's still, hours and hours and hours
of
recovery time.
Yeah. Well, and you don't, and as it says in the article, you don't want to do this yourself. You know, you want to take it to a reputable dealer like, let me just take one off the top of my head, Jesse Group, MacAv. Those folks will know how to open one of these cases correctly. They're an Apple dealer so that they can do so if they need to. So that's the kind of thing you want to do. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to talk to Mark. From Hamlin, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's your question? Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
How you doing? Guys, I appreciate your service. I've listened to you for a few years, and thanks. Anyways, I got a question about the family computer, and we have Thunderbird on it and for our email, and that was going great until about the 15th of January. So I get on it the other day, and I noticed that somebody must have went or responded to a website, and all of a sudden now they've engaged the Microsoft email, Explorer?
Yeah.
And so now the emails are going directed there. How do I make Thunderbird the primary?
Okay, this is an easy one. What you can do is go to Start, and you go to your into the control panel.
Okay.
And under Internet Options, you'll see then the last tab is Programs. And in there is where you can set your default email program.
It should, though, the next time you launch Thunderbird, it should say, do you want to make Thunderbird your default program?
It doesn't.
Yeah.
Someone must have said, don't ask again.
Right.
Yeah, if you go into...
One thing you can do in Thunderbird to set that is if you go to Tools and Options...
check whether Thunderbird is default program.
Right. Under General, the very first box says... use Thunderbird as the default mail application. There's a checkbox. Make sure that's checked. Shut down Thunderbird and restart it, and that'll work.
Okay, guys.
And like I say, under the Internet Properties, under Programs, you know, there is that one there. Make sure it's set there also to Thunderbird. And that will make it the default. And the problem will go away.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye to the program. Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's too bad you can't actually delete in Outlook Express. Well, actually, you probably could delete the .exe file so it wouldn't run again.
Right.
But who knows what havoc that would wreak inside Windows.
Right. Our next caller is Dave from Greece, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Listen, I installed McAfee antivirus on my computer in November.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I have been unable to register this online, and therefore, I cannot receive any of the updates. It will not accept my email address or my password. It just keeps rerouting me, saying, you know, this email address has already been used, this password is no good, and so on and so forth.
So,
and I can't find a phone number to call them up. What do I do?
Well, if it's saying your email address has already been used, you're already registered,
yeah.
And there should be a forgot my password button for that email address.
Yeah, there isn't. I went to that, and then I entered another password, and they said you can't use that.
Because that one might have been already registered, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you got to go digging, I believe, under the contacts. Or
well, right on their front page, there's a customer care link for a home user.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've tried that, too.
You might have to email them and let them know. You got to really do some digging to find the phone number.
Yeah, yeah.
But you might want to try emailing their tech support and explain to them. I know they were having a problem with their database for a little bit there as far as registering, and you go back in to check. Like you say, you want to get the notices and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But email them, and they're pretty good about getting back. It'll take a few days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're very popular, and you know it's a great product. But they'll email you back and correct that in their database. It's a database issue within them.
Their telephone number, if you like telephone, is 408-992-8599. They also have, as Dave was saying, an email question and answer and an internet chat where you can chat online with someone and get an immediate response.
Yeah, give that a shot, though. And
yeah, go to the customer service link in the bottom right of their main front page.
Give that a shot. Let us know how you make out.
Our next caller, Joe from Geneseo. Welcome, Joe. What do you know?
Well, how you doing? I'm running... XP Home, and I had a real bad virus, went through the security tangle, finally got rid of it all, but now I cannot get my programs from the taskbar when they're minimized. I can get back to them by going the alternate tab route, but it doesn't show up on the taskbar.
You mean the quick launch?
Right.
No, you mean if you open a program, there's no little button on the taskbar to
right.
Switch
if I minimize the program, I can't get down to the taskbar at the bottom of the page and restore it.
Is the taskbar there?
Yes, it is.
Actually, I'm just booting up the computer right now. You can probably hear it.
Yeah.
But, the taskbar is there. Shows the start. And it shows any menu bars that you've got loaded.
Mm-hmm.
But the programs don't show up there.
Interesting.
I wonder if the taskbar task has failed. Yeah, the taskbar is generated by a program.
Yeah, and you can customize that. I wonder if there's...
Something else was clicked on?
Yeah, if you right-click on the taskbar, there should be a properties command.
Right.
And
is
there a reset to default in there somewhere?
No, but you can uncheck stuff.
Uncheck customize and maybe go back to take it back to normal. That's weird, because it's one of those integral parts of Windows that shouldn't not work.
Yeah.
It's like double clicking. We've run across people where double clicking an icon doesn't work, but if you click and then choose open,
but
it does
work.
But
when you click on that too, there's also the start menu, and you might want to check that, you know, there's the taskbar and then there's the start menu, and just check to make sure that it's using the standard one.
And it also comes up that it's got a Trojan's lob on the Norton antivirus.
Well, okay. I was just about to say if the other thing that could be is some sort of virus.
Yeah, well, it says it's deleted the virus, but it comes up every time the computer starts.
Yeah, well, you've got something else in there that's also hijacked your machine. I mean, this could be one of those other Trojans or spyware programs. Try restarting your machine in safe mode. And running both your antivirus, the Adware, and SpyBot in safe mode and see what you come up with. That might get rid of it there, because if you're trying to do it in regular mode, you know, once it gets loaded, it's loaded. And it can be hidden by another name. So that's why we suggest from time to time to, do stuff in safe mode. So run it there and let us know.
All right. Our next caller is Mark. From Rochester, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Peachy, how are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Here's my question for you. I got a couple of PCs that are... I'm sorry for that noise. I've got a couple of PCs that are I want to give away, and I want to completely erase everything that's on the hard drive so that there's no chance of tracing any of my previous activity, personal information, and so forth. Is there a way to do that?
100-ton press and a mechanical shredder is the only way to completely guarantee no one will ever get any data back.
Formatting is probably about your best.
What is that? I'm sorry?
Just formatting the drive.
Okay.
That will, for the average person, get rid of it. I mean, if you want to get into forensics and everything else and, taking things apart and all that type of stuff, yeah, you could really still get into it. But will the average person? No. So if you format it, that's pretty much going to get rid of everything. That you can be pretty safe that if you're going to donate it or that, you'll be safe.
There's also a program called Derek's Boot and Nuke, which will you boot this disk and it pretty much zaps everything. Steve will put that up. It's at dban.sourceforge.net, and that's a program that will wipe all the hard drives of most computers. It automatically and completely deletes the contents of any hard drive it can detect. It zeros them out.
You
want to be careful with this. If you boot this in a drive, it will delete everything on the hard drive.
And, if you're looking for a place to
all the hard drives
to get rid of these computers, if you're going to donate them and that type of stuff, I recommend going to our website, and we've got a list of donation, places that take donations, and you might want to check that out.
Right. Our next caller, Mike from Avon, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Hi. Actually, from Henrietta.
Oh, from Henrietta.
Yeah. I want to upgrade to a gig on my memory.
Yes.
But I don't know what the processor speed is of the memory. Does it matter if I would change, all the memory out to the same?
The processor speed doesn't matter. The specific logic board you have matters.
Yep.
Whether the RAM is PC2100, PC3200, DDR, DDR2. So you need the specifications of your motherboard.
Right.
Right, and that's a separate thing. That comes with the motherboard manual. You'll be able to find that out in there. If you don't have that, then the only thing you can do is take it to a reputable vendor, like, say, Dave or Steve, and they can figure out what motherboard you have, what rev of that motherboard, et cetera, et cetera. Look on the web and look through their materials and find that out.
Is it a name brand computer or custom built?
It's custom built.
Yeah, yeah. That makes it a little
trickier. Yeah, we need to know the motherboard, the revision number, and everything else, because even within revision numbers, we've seen them change clock speeds. Whether it takes PC2100s to 133s or 266s.
Right. So you really need to, at this point, I'm sorry, but you need to take it to a reputable vendor and have them take a look at it. All right. Now we're going to go to Mike in Avon. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
I'm using Audacity, and I've had it on three different computers, and I can't get it to record in stereo. What am I doing wrong?
Are you opening a stereo track?
Yes.
It's one of the options is to record left, right, or mono.
Are these desktops or laptops?
No, one's a laptop. The other two are regular desktop machines.
In the desktop machines, are you sure you're using a stereo microphone?
I'm coming off a tape deck.
Okay, are you sure the tape deck has a...
You're running out of stereo into an eighth-inch jack. That's coming into the sound card.
But is the tape deck capable of...
Yeah, it's a stereo.
Well, even if the tape deck wasn't, you should get two mono tracks. It should record in stereo. If your tape deck is only putting out a mono signal, it should record it in two tracks of mono. And it shows you in the Audacity pop-down that you're recording in stereo.
Nope, won't do it.
Hold on.
Hang on the line. We got to take a quick break, but stay on the line. We'll come back in just a couple of minutes and talk to you about that here on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We're on the line with Mike. Mike, two things. First, as long as you're absolutely certain you're using a stereo cable.
Yes.
Audacity will record stereo on a single track unless you select split tracks.
Okay.
So that's probably what's happening. I mean, when I record stereo, it comes through as one track unless I specifically tell it to split them.
And where might that be in the menu?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a different I'm actually running Audacity right now. The other place to check is the Audacity preferences.
Okay.
And make sure that your recording device is set to how many channels you want.
Right. That's part of it, too.
Yeah.
All right.
So give it a shot and let us know how you make out.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome, sir.
Cool. Thanks. All right. Our next caller will be Lance on a cell phone. Welcome, Lance. You're pulled over to the side of the road, right, Lance?
No, I'm in a driveway parked.
There you go. Cool. Good place to make a cell call. What's up?
Well, my wife is in talking to the lady of the house. Question. I have two, but I can only recall one at the moment. How to eliminate something from the startup routine. Ever since I installed a Kodak picture handling device, program, it loads it and it even appears on the screen for a moment.
Right.
I've cut it from the start menu. I've done with other things.
The other place that you're going to have to go is, I take it that you're running Windows XP?
98 SE.
No, Windows XP?
No, nope. 98 SE.
All right, same difference. What you got to do is go to start, go to run, and you type in msconfig. Now,
okay.
And you go to the start tab there, and you will see the easy share stuff being loaded there, and there'll be a check mark. So if you uncheck it there, it will be able to, when you restart, you'll get a menu saying, oh, you changed this configuration. You'll put a little checkbox down the lower left-hand corner, say okay, so that doesn't pop up and bug you again. It will continue loading the stuff in the start folder, and you won't see the easy share stuff down in the lower right-hand corner. And that will take care of
that. Now, what that also means is that when he plugs in his Kodak camera, it won't automatically bring up the software and
right.
start doing stuff.
He's got to click
that's,
it manually.
Right. That's the
that's fine. Just eats a lot of resources for the few times you're going to use it.
Well, exactly. All right. Our next call is Jason from Parenton, New York. Welcome, Jason. What's your question?
I have a Windows XP version on my Dell computer I bought about 3 years ago. It's Pentium Intel 4. And what happened is that I tried to take off the McAfee virus that was on the computer because it wouldn't let me get another free year, and I was being cheap, and instead of buying it, I tried to make it look like it was never on there. I went to the add and remove program.
Go ahead.
I took out so many things that eventually my computer wouldn't even shut down. I just had to turn off the power pack.
Yep.
And I got a new version of XP. I tried to put it on the computer and erase everything else. And it told me at one point that it was an older version of XP. Is that okay? And I figured, fine, I'd do the downloads. And all of a sudden it came on, and my screen was just giant. Like, the start bar was about an inch tall.
Yeah. Right.
And I couldn't adjust any of the settings, and it kind of told me that my driver, like, it doesn't recognize a driver at all.
Right, you have to reload your video driver.
Yep. Video driver, that was the one.
Yep.
So how do I do that?
From the disk that came with the video card.
But yeah, wait a minute, this is a Dell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you even get the disc for it?
Yeah. When I bought it, I got all the discs. The only disc I can't find is the Windows XP disc. So
right,
I had to borrow my uncle's Windows XP disc.
Yeah, because Dell doesn't include it anymore. They'll include the drivers for the machine, but Dell stopped shipping the XP CD with it to save money.
One of those discks you have will be labeled drivers or resources or something like that.
Yeah, it is. Actually, it is.
And you have to load all of the drivers for the cards and the motherboard and the Ethernet and the video and the sound and all that. You have to load those drivers separately.
One thing I can say for Dell, if you can get onto their website, your network card's working, you can put in your code, and it will go for that specific machine and find the video drivers for that.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave and Steve and Rob and Nick on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Computer talk that you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We have Mark from Canisius on the line. Mark, how do you spell Canisius?
Pardon me?
How do you spell Canisius?
O-N-E-S-U-S.
Oh, he had it right. Very nice.
Right. All right, Rob. Oh,
very nice.
Spelled
Rob
it
got
right.
one right.
You know what? You mock out the way I spell, but did I not get it right on there?
You got Canisius correctly.
Thank
very
you
nicely done.
Very
and you
much.
Also spelled Mark correctly. Very nice.
You know what?
It's cone sus.
Listen to me. One day I want you to come in here, and I want you to push all the buttons and look at the four or five computer screens and type on eight different keyboards, okay? You're in there just kind of, you know, doing your thing.
Only eight keyboards? You lazy.
That's what you do. That's your job. You're good
that's
at that.
That's why they gave you that separate room. So we
We're
didn't
only
interfere.
Good at one thing at a time. You can multitask. You can do eight things at once.
Whatever.
You're a superstar. You're a superstar, Rob.
And
okay,
that's why
back
they pay
to Mark.
Him the big buck.
Back to Mark, who's now wondering, wasn't this supposed to be about me? What's your question, Mark?
Well, actually, this is about the guy that was trying to figure out what kind of memory he needs.
Ah, yeah.
DX Diag will tell him the maker of the motherboard and the chipset that it uses. And the other thing that helps is usually when it first boots, it'll tell you the model number of the system board.
Right.
That's true.
Between those, you should be able to figure out just Google it, and it'll tell you what you need.
DX Diag is the Microsoft DirectX diagnostic tool, according to Google.
Yep.
Cool.
Just start, run DX Diag. It gives you all kinds of info.
Cool. Cool. We'll have to check that out.
All righty.
Thank you so much,
sir.
Good day.
Appreciate that.
I suppose it makes sense. DirectX has to know what your computer specifications are.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it can know if you can run DirectX or not.
One thing before we're done, I wanted to talk about an interesting thing that's going on right now. Did you know that your phone records are for sale on the internet? Whether it's a cell phone or a regular phone, pretty much anybody can just buy your phone records off the internet. Lawmakers have finally noticed this, and members of the U.S. House of Representatives today promised fast action to outlaw the sale of telephone and mobile phone call logs. Basically, what happens is people call up the phone company, say they're you, and are given access to all of your records, which then they download and offer for sale on the internet. It's pretty neat. They're very personal and private records, who we call, when we call, how long we spend on the call. Basically, this is an invasion of personal privacy, and we don't want to see it happen. So the industry is on it now. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan is working on that. Rep Joe Barton is a Texas Republican and the committee chairman. They're working on that right now. So call your representatives and tell them you definitely want them behind this bill in order to get privacy back into our lives from our phone records. You definitely want to do that. For those of you who are Mozilla fans and have been using not Firefox and Thunderbird, but the full Mozilla suite, SeaMonkey 1.0 is out. SeaMonkey 1.0 is the new version of the Mozilla suite. It's the full tool set, including the Internet Relay chat client, Chatzilla, which is the IM browser, the instant messaging thing. It's got the Netscape communicator package. It's basically all of that stuff all in one. It's version 1.0, and it's available for Windows and the Mac and Linux. So you can just download it and install it, and you get everything. For those of you who prefer that to the standalone Firefox and Thunderbird.
You know, one thing I was disappointed in, you know, I've been using Netscape for quite a while. And I, matter of fact, I'm still on 7.2.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little disappointed because I tried 8. And this is, I know, is one downfall of Netscape, is when I was trying to import my emails and all that, it doesn't do a good job.
No, it doesn't.
As a matter of fact, it sucks at it.
Ah, the technical term.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, I had to go through all these gyrations, and then just when I went from 7.1 to 7.2 to keep all my emails.
Right.
Whereas I noticed with the Thunderbird, it just grabs them.
Yeah, Thunderbird just comes up and basically
sucks
says,
it all in.
Oh, I see you've got this and this and this. Do you want to import the settings and the everything? Everything.
There,
and it's all there. Bang. Very nifty product. But you might want to take a look at SeaMonkey. Theoretically, it's based on the same code as Thunderbird and Firefox.
Play with it with one of my other machines.
Right. So it gives you all the same stuff that you're used to in the one all-in-one Netscape suite.
And again, folks, if you're going to do stuff like this, back up the data. I mean, we can't say it enough.
Oh, yes, please. Please back up your data. You know, the worst thing on earth is when somebody calls and says, oh, I screwed everything up, and now I can't get at anything, and I've lost all my data.
Mm-hmm.
What about your backups? Oh, I don't actually have any backups.
Yeah.
Okay, wait.
No one told me I needed to back up.
Right. Your data are important enough for me to spend 8 or 9 hours finding them all and recovering them, but they weren't important enough for you to spend like 8 seconds backing them up.
Exactly.
I'm a little confused by that.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you guys love that because
it's going to cost you.
But for those of you who don't want to pay Dave and or Steve, then you want to back up your data first. Well, it looks to me like we're actually done for another week. The music behind me tells me we're actually done for another week. Super Bowl coverage is next. I know you knew that. That's the rest of the day.
And the Super Bowl only starts in 5 hours.
A mere 5 hours to the Super Bowl, so watch that coverage now. Personally, I'll be waiting for Puppy Bowl, but that's just me. We'll be back here next Sunday at 11 on Soundbites. We'll have Dave Enright. We'll have Steve Ray. Rob Linton will be with us. I'm Nick Francesco. We're going to go home. Steve and Rob's going to sit. We know Rob is a huge football fan. He'll be sitting in front of that TV right now waiting for the show.
Just glued to it.
Just glued to that set. Thanks for watching us. This is 1180 WHAM.